Never make eye contact with a bearded woman.
This is the Don't Panic radio show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right. Did you see the lights as they fell all around you? Did you hear the music of serenade from the stars? Wake up, wake up, wake up and look around you. We're lost in space and all the time is our own.
What would happen if you could go back in time and let's say you knew then what you know now. And you could use this knowledge to your advantage. Would you find someone at your school who you had a crush on, maybe? Maybe you would ace all of your tests. Maybe you would ask that person out, knowing that the worst that could happen is you could regret not asking them out 45 years later. But let's say you had the opportunity to get to know someone who at the time it seemed like was impossible to get to know. Let's say you had the opportunity to meet anyone on the face of the planet, especially someone from Hollywood. What if you could meet that one person from Hollywood who you had a crush on as long ago as you can remember? Who would that be? So I thought I would try the Dan Carlin cadence in honor of Dan Carlin finally coming out with a new episode of Hardcore History.
I thought I tuned into the wrong podcast for a minute.
I could try the Aaron Mankey cadence, which is the dude that does lore, which is wildly popular for God knows why.
Yeah, you've talked about them.
It's weird. I keep listening. Like today, actually, his episode today was about Belle Ganesse. The chick in LaPorte that killed all those dudes.
Belle Ganesse. Is that how they pronounce it now?
I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
Belle Ganesse.
That's not a whole lot different. In fact, not enough different to waste a minute talking about it on. But anyway, that's how he pronounced it. He pronounced it Belle Ganesse.
That's because he's not from around here.
Not only is he not from around here, but his rhythm, you could tell it's written down, first of all. Uh-huh. He's reading it, all right? But uh-huh. He's got this rhythm that apparently people love. The thing I hate about it, This is what I hate about when people are reading something and you know they're reading it, is when they try to do the conversational tone and they'll go like... They'll say something like, so there were always stories that you heard from when you were younger, and sometimes they are a little bit, shall we say, oh, heck, let's go ahead and say, scary. You know? Right. You know, like, nobody writes, oh, heck, right?
Right.
If you're reading what you wrote, you wouldn't read, oh, heck. And if you're being conversational, you would say, oh, heck, but you would say, like, ah, heck, let's just say, scary.
But he says, oh.
Yeah. He's like, but you know that he wrote on that piece of paper, let's just say, dot, 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 scary, MMMSCARY.
Ah, bullshit. Did I ever tell you my Belle Ganesse story?
No. Let's hear it.
A couple years ago, I was doing research for this book I'm working on, and I was at the town library here, and I was sitting at the bus stop, you know, waiting for the bus to show up, and I looked over, and I'm the lady sitting next to me.
Wait, hold on. I need to make sure I'm following the story. Okay, why were you sitting at the bus stop?
I was waiting for a bus.
Ah, got it. All
okay. I mean, what I mean, I could be waiting for drugs.
That's true.
In any event, I look over and this woman sitting next to me has a beard. And I was like really, really put off by it at first. And we got to talking. And because she's one of these people that when you make eye contact, they talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I avoid eye contact with those people at all costs.
Yes, especially bearded. Never make eye contact with a bearded woman.
I'm going to write that down. Never follow a hippie to a second location. Never make eye contact with a bearded woman.
See, listeners learn shit on this show. Anyway, we got to talking about.
Right. Education.
We got to talking about serial killers, and she had mentioned that her grandfather delivered furniture for Bill Gunness like 3 or 4 times. And she's like,
he's lucky to be alive.
Well, that's what she goes. She goes, yeah, I'm lucky to be here. And but grandpa always said she was a nice lady. I'm like, yeah, you know, until you married her, apparently.
Hannibal Lecter was pretty nice.
Right. The furniture store that she would buy all of her furniture from still exists to this day in town.
That's still a better story than the one that Aaron Mankey told on his podcast today. His story is actually the whatever you call it, the punch. I call it the punchline just because I'm joke biased. But the part, the zinger or whatever, whatever it's called, is about that climactic. He'll be like, so it'll be like this. He'll go, in the furniture store where Belle Gunness bought her furniture still exists to this day. Moving on to some other topic, you go, hang on, you led me along this far, you got to finish me off. You can't just like, oh, there you go, was that fun? No,
you gotta finish me off. It's like, where you going? Get back here. I paid for a whole 8 minutes.
I'm not paying by the minute. I'm paying by the something else. All right. So, never make eye contact with a bearded woman. And so seriously, question for our listeners that I'm going to put out there right now is your earliest, you know, I opened the show with what would happen if you could meet your earliest crush from Hollywood. So I'm posting on my particular Facebook page, your earliest Hollywood crush, go. And I'm hitting post. Boom. So at the end of the show, so it's 10:12 p.m. on recording night. So at the end of the show, around closer to 11, we'll see what kind of activity we got there. And maybe your name will be called. You better tune in to find out. So I was thinking about that. I remember, you know, when you're a kid, and I've noticed this with my kids, and I remember it from with my brother, that as you're trying to make sense of the world, part of what you do is you sort of start categorizing things, like favorite color, favorite, and you might have 8 favorite colors. You're like, I think that's all of them. As far as I knew, because I only ever got the 8 crayon box. I never got the 128 crayon box. It's like, no, there's 128 colors, dude. No, there's only 8. Like, what about seafoam? I'd be like, seafoam? That's like light blue with some white. Right? No, there's a crayon called seafoam. I'm like, how do you know? It's right here in my 128 crayon box with the sharpener in the side. It's like, why do you need a sharpener in the side? Well, you know, you get your crayon goes to a nub and it gets up behind the paper. I'm like, you mean the part where you rip the paper off? No, you don't rip the paper off. You stick it in the crayon sharpener and you sharpen it. Like, oh, man, rich people problems, I guess. Anyway, so you got favorite color, you got favorite car. Mine was Trans Am. And it's not a choice to go, well, I don't know, I got a lot of favorite. I like a lot of cars. I don't know that I have a favorite.
Yeah.
No, that's not a, you got favorite Daredevil, Evel Knievel, of course. You got you got all this favorite stuff, right? And then when you're a boy, you get to a certain age, you got to pick the, or maybe girls do this too, you got to pick the celebrity who's your favorite celebrity.
Right.
And back at, in those days, Charlie's Angels was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was a show we watched, like, religiously, which had Farrah Fawcett, Kate Jackson, Jacqueline Smith, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My brother was always really mainstream, right? So, of course, he picked Farrah Fawcett.
Right.
Of course, right? So, I couldn't pick Farrah Fawcett. He already picked Farrah Fawcett. Plus, from an early age, I was anti-mainstream. You know me. I didn't buy Mad magazine. I bought Cracked.
That's right.
I don't snort coke. I smoke crack, right? I don't take antihistamines. I smoke meth. Anyway, so I didn't go for the blonde bombshell Farrah Fawcett. So it was between Kate Jackson and Jacqueline Smith, and I would always forget which one was my favorite. So to this day, I'm not really sure. I know it was one of those two, but like I would say which one, and then my brother would correct me. He'd be like, no.
Right.
No, it's the other one. He'd be like, the one with the straight hair. He's like, yeah, that's Kate Jackson, or the other one.
Yeah. You know? Well, the one they always had not do sexy things, that was Kate Jackson. So the other, so that's how you could differentiate the two of them. Farrah Fawcett would go off and be like a swimsuit model. Kate Jackson would be like a librarian, and then Jacqueline Smith would be like a swimsuit model.
Hello, right. Angels. Hello, Tom. Hello. What was his name? Charlie.
Charlie.
Hello, Charlie. We're sitting here with the eunuch named Tom Bosley. Hi there, Charlie. Hey, Angels. This week, I'm going to need you to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. Brought to you by the Dallas Cowboys. Kate Jackson or whoever is like, okay, Charlie. No. Not you, Kate.
Yes.
I mean, not you, whatever her name was, Sabrina. Whatever her name
was. Yeah, I think it was Sabrina.
And Sabrina. He's like, not you. I'm going to need you to be a nerdy administrative assistant.
For some reason, she's a parking meter.
I'm going to need you to be a meter maid this week.
Yeah, meter maid.
And Farrah Fawcett, I'm going to need you to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. And Jacqueline Smith, I'm going to need you to be a cocktail waitress in the owner's suite. All right. Go get to work. All right. Bosley, Tom Bosley. Well, hello, Bosley, Tom Bosley. And wasn't he the same person as the dad on Happy Days?
Yeah. What was his name? I'm pretty sure he was.
he looked the same. I know it wasn't the same actor, but they looked alike. Sort of like Miguel Ferrer and the guy from the Nationwide commercials. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
That's right. You know,
that guy. It's like, I remember, I think I posted something about the guy from the commercials, and I said something like, I love this guy on Crossing Jordan. Somebody's like, he wasn't on Crossing Jordan. Like, yeah, he was. I mean, if you look at him.
We did an episode on that, actually.
I think you're right. So Tom Bosley, and the dad from Happy Days are as similar as Miguel Ferrer, who just died recently.
Miguel Ferrer just passed away like last week.
God rest his soul. He knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. Who was your first crush, man? I don't think I remember.
Well, it wasn't Tom Bosley.
It wasn't Bosley Tom Bosley?
No, it wasn't Bosley Tom Bosley. My first ever crush was probably, I'm going to go with Lindsay Wagner, the Bionic Woman.
Oh, I was thinking Heart to Heart.
No.
Was she in that too?
No.
Okay, good. No. Whew. Bionic Woman, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was she Steve Majors' wife?
No. Steve Majors.
What? Well, who's Steve Majors?
I maybe went to school with him.
Oh, yeah. You remember Steve Majors?
Lee Majors was the actor who played Steve Austin, not to be confused by the wrestler of the same name.
Oh, right. Yeah. Steve Austin.
A man barely alive. But yeah, no, I gotta go with Lindsay Wagner.
All right. Why is that?
I have a very deep-rooted, what's the word I'm looking for?
Penis.
I would hope it's deeply rooted. Those might come off. Anyway, no, I have a very deep-rooted attraction towards women who can beat me up. And I think maybe that's where that came from. Because clearly, if you got all those bionics, you know.
Do you have any idea why you have this penchant for women who could beat you up?
This isn't radiotherapy.
It's not?
That's a different show. No, I honestly don't know why. I'm just attracted to strong women. I always have been. And that's, I think, that was the nucleus of it, probably.
I'd go with that when you're talking to people about this. I'd go with the attracted to strong women as opposed to the women who could beat me up.
No, it's always worked for me the opposite. I've always had better results with being honest.
With weak women who could beat you up? Is that?
No. Well, you know, you get a better response from people if you tell them you're attracted to women that can beat you up. It's like, then they want to fight you.
But if he, yeah.
And then wrestling is foreplay, so.
From days of yore. You know, I've had a weird week. I got to tell you. It's been Sunday. I was the girls and I decided to be outside. And I said, well, why don't you guys ride your scooters? I gave my 12-year-old my old scooter, which is made for adults.
Yeah. I saw a picture of it.
It's extra sturdy. It's called the Zooter. X-O-O-T-R. And so she's riding around on that. And then they go, hey, let's go around the neighborhood. And I was like, all right, go for it. I'm gonna organize the garage, right? Because it was like 60 degrees. I was like, it's January and 60 degrees? That ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't at all right. I don't mind admitting that global warming is a thing, but I really want winter back. Come on, Earth.
Right? Get your shit together.
Yeah. Now Earth is just being like, hey, I tried to tell you. Nope. No, you wouldn't listen. I'm like, okay. It's a thing. Give us winter back. Nope. You had your chance.
The Earth turns into Wanda Sykes.
Just because I'd be standing around trying to melt my polarized caps don't mean I'm warming up, does it? So I said, all right, we'll go around the neighborhood. Elizabeth, you get on your... Elizabeth, coming to see you. No, I said... I said, 12-year-old, you get on your bike. I'll take the grown-up scooter. And 8-year-old, you take your Razor scooter, and we'll go around the neighborhood. And we got a lot of hills up in here, like really steep hills. But the neighborhood across the street is kind of flat. So I was like, hey, let's go over to the neighborhood across the street. Go down this hill over there. And they said, we're not riding down this hill. We'll walk everything down the hill. I was like, yeah, that's fine. We can walk everything down this hill. We'll go across the street, whatever. So I'm walking down this hill, and I'm like, ah, bullshit. I'm going to ride this thing down this hill. This is silly. It's got a brake on it. I'll ride it, and I'll hit the brake.
No good can come from this.
Before the intersection, I'll hit the brake. I'll stop. I'll wait for them to catch up. We'll cross the street, and we'll go. So I get on this thing, and I start letting gravity do what it does. And I'd say it's about a 6% grade, which for anybody that knows, like, that rides bikes or knows grades, that's pretty steep. I mean, that's a 6% is a pretty steep hill. So I'm picking up speed. I'm like, all right, this is going a little faster than I'd like. I'm going to hit this brake over here. So I hit the brake, like I tap the brake, you know? I'm like, wow, that tapping this brake's not doing anything. I'm going to pull hard on this brake. I pull hard on the brake, and I'm still accelerating. I'm like, not only is it not slowing me down, but I'm going faster than when I started. You know?
You're turning it into the wreck of the old 97.
That's right. So I looked down and I was like, it kind of flattens out there about 10 yards before it gets to the intersection. So I thought, when I hit that flat, I'll really lay into this brake, and that ought to stop me, you know? So I get to the flat, I lay into the brake, and I got strong hands, you know. You know, you've shaken hands with me before. You know,
yes.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
I have comfortably strong hands, right?
Yeah. I think we did a show on comfortable strong hands.
Well, this is for new listeners. So I laid into that break with my comfortable strong right hand, and I got into that flat, and I am not slowing down fast enough to not go into the intersection at full speed, which is at this point at least 15 miles an hour. Shit you not. And
you're suddenly Leslie Nielsen.
So yeah, well, I'm OJ Simpson. At the end of the Naked Gun, you know, I'm like,
minus the murder.
Yeah, yes. Minus the murder. So I started going over all the options in my head, right? And I could only think of two. One is, cross this intersection and hope no cars are coming, right? And just ride this shit out until I burn off all this speed, right? Or I had no idea how fast I was going. I knew I was going fast. I didn't have a full grasp of quite how fast I was going. So I thought, oh, all I got to do is jump off, right? I'll just jump off, kind of hanging on to the scooter. I'll just jump off. I'll like take three or four steps.
Do that kind of flat-footed run, you know?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that was funny. So, you know that saying, hit the ground running?
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit. They proved that on MythBusters, where they had these guys up in a harness on a pulley kind of system, and they would like get them going really fast, and they would start moving their legs really fast, and then they would drop them onto the ground, and they would fall flat on their face every single time. Well, turns out if you're on a scooter going 10 or 15 miles an hour and you jump off, you could take a good 3 steps maybe before. Okay. The physics of it is pretty clear to me now as I've thought about it. My feet went from 15 miles an hour to probably 3 miles an hour. My head continued at 10 or 15 miles an hour. And my, you know, from my head down to my feet, you know, it's something between 10 and 15 miles an hour and zero, which means the whole upper half of my body just wanted to keep going. That's when I knew I was in trouble. That moment. Someone asked me, when did you know you were fucked? I was like, it started to dawn on me when I started pulling on the brake and nothing was happening and I was still accelerating. I didn't fully grasp the situation until about the third step when the top half of me wasn't slowing down. And I saw the asphalt coming straight at my face.
Did you ever hear the Larry Miller joke about when he was skiing?
No.
And he got going so fast and he's like, and I, in my head I'm thinking, this is too fast. I should not be going this fast. A human shouldn't be going. How can I slow myself down? So this is what I'm thinking, but what I'm really saying is, he goes, ah! He goes down because he's screaming the whole way down the hill.
Yep,
it's similar to that.
It's very similar to that. I remember sticking my hand out and thinking, I actually had these thoughts. The brain can formulate a lot of thoughts in a very short period of time.
Yeah, this is it. We're all going to die now.
This is it. We're all going to die. First you say it, then you do it. Oh, shit. So my it was a reflex. Like the automatic reflex was to stick my hand out. Mm-hmm. And like the three 100ths of a second after it touched the asphalt, I thought, this is the wrong thing to do. I'm going to shove my arm into my, you know, into my lungs. I'm going to break a collarbone. So I got to pull this in. Like, I got to pull this hand in. Like, this is as it's hitting the asphalt. Like, I pull it in. Somehow I caught my left middle finger, the same one that I sliced open about a year ago. Cutting some sausage from Smoking Goose. And I really should have gotten a stitch because it bled for 3 days. But
is that the one that you broke during Taekwondo back in junior high, or was that your
ring? No, that was my ring finger. Same hand. No, wait, okay. No, that was my right hand ring finger. It wasn't Taekwondo, it was wrestling.
Oh, was it wrestling? I thought it was Taekwondo.
Okay. It was wrestling. And Mr. Galliferro made me write a bunch of sentences for chewing gum, even though I had a broken finger.
He was an ass.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had control over his classroom.
Yeah. Well, one concrete wall away, yeah. Sheer bedlam was breaking out in my science class.
That's right. Lord of the Flies on one side and Brave New World on the other.
Wow. Please continue.
So that finger got all fucked up. It's not broken. It's super swollen, scraped up and everything, but doctor said he doesn't think it's broken. Sprained my wrist, road rash on my elbow, and landed. Like, I did a nice little shoulder roll, but I landed with a lot of, like, weight on my shoulder. So the first thing I remember is looking up, and Elizabeth goes, "Are you joking?" I was like, "Oh no, no, that was no joke." And then I looked back up the hill, and there's Simone screaming like, "Ah!" I was like, "I'm okay, don't worry about it." Then some dude across the street got out of his car. He's like, "Are you all right?" I was like, "I'm okay, I'm okay."
I Simone, thought your youngest was just doing immigrant song.
Yeah. So when we got back in the house, which took forever, so I had to walk back up the hill. My finger's bleeding. I got blood running down my hand. Get back up the hill, back into the house.
You're doing the whole, "Don't tell your mom about this."
My wife is like, "Hey, how'd it go?" I was like, "Eh, not great." Simone's like, "Dad's going to die." I was like, "I'm not going to die. Right now." "Not right now. I will die eventually." "No." I was like, no, but it's going to be a long time. And it's not going to be from this. Like,
that's right.
Like moments when you go, maybe you don't have to be completely like accurate with your answers to your kids. "Are you going to die?" "Sure. We all are." So I was sitting there in a chair, like just like breathing and like looking at the blood. And like, somebody get me a paper towel and a glass of water. And then I thought, I don't know what the extent of my injuries are right now, but I seem to remember something from first aid class saying I ought to elevate my legs. So I did that and I laid down and God, I didn't hit my head. I didn't break any bones. I, you know, scraped up my finger pretty bad. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, those scooters have been known to kill people.
Scooters don't kill people. People falling off of scooters and hitting their head kills people.
Going 35 miles an hour down a 6% grade.
So my wife is like, "Why don't you just go into the grass?" I was like,
"Well, where were you?"
Now you tell me.
That's right. Of all the scenarios you ran through your head, you're like, the grass never entered your mind.
That's right. I'm trying to formulate a response, and it's somewhere between, well, I went through a few options in my head. I didn't have a lot of time, so that particular option didn't occur to me. To, really? That's your question right now? And then finally... While I'm going through all of these response, I'm like the Terminator when like somebody asks them a question, then you get the green stuff, yes. Like possible responses, like scrolling past. I was like, while I'm trying to choose a response, Elizabeth goes, "Well, he would have run into me. I was between him and the grass, so he avoided." I said, "There you go. I saved my child." Yeah. I was like, sacrificed myself so I wouldn't run over my child. That's the answer.
One time, years ago, when I used to paint houses, I had this whole big ladder apparatus set up, you know, and I'm painting the sidings and stuff, and I wanted to get this last little bit that was just out of my reach, and I didn't feel like getting down off the ladder, and I looked over, and just a couple feet over was like a concrete ledge that had like a wrought iron rail around it, you know. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to step out, put my foot on that concrete, and finish this area, and then get down from the ladder. Well, I totally missed that concrete. And I fell into the rail, put some serious space between two of my ribs, flapped over and fell into the bushes. And as I'm laying there, the first thought that goes through my head was, I hope my brother didn't see me do that. And then it was, ow, because they ended up getting all dislocated. It was all black and blue. Yeah, so the first thought that goes through your head is never like, aim for the grass.
Yeah, right. There's something exciting about getting injured that makes me wish I could get injured. Like, I don't want to get injured. I want to be injured. You know what I mean? Because I like the idea of being injured. I hate the idea of getting injured.
Well, I'm just gonna make a callback to earlier in the show about liking women that can beat me up. You're preaching to the choir. I think I get it.
Something about laying in a hospital bed being taken care of by the woman who kicked your ass.
That's right.
That is so much better than actually getting punched in the teeth. I would rather... All right. Having been punched in the teeth what is it? It's an exciting thought. Getting punched in the teeth doesn't sound all that great. Anyway, that may be a little too esoteric for some of our listeners.
They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia, San Steve. You're way behind time. This is not 38, this is old 97. Put her in the Spencer on time. Well, he turned around and said to his big crazy fireman, hey, shovel on a little more coal. And when we cross that wide old mountain, watch old 97 roll. Mighty rough road from Lynchburg to Danville in a line on a 3 mile grade. It was on that grade that he lost his air brake. You see what a jump he made. He was going down the grade making 90 miles an hour. His whistle broke into a scream. He was found in the wreck with his hand on the throttle, scalded to death by the steam. Now all you ladies, you better take a warning from this time on and learn. Never speak harsh words to your true love or husband. He may leave you and never return.
It was fucking weird, man. She had like a fucking... She had the fucking goatee, man. It was like... She had like the Burl Ives Frosty the Snowman goatee bearded thing. And I'm like, ah!
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Aaron Mankey is the creator, writer, and producer of the hit podcast Lore, one of iTunes' best of 2015, now headed to television, where he explores the darker side of history from around the world. In his spare time, Aaron writes supernatural thrillers, including Grave Suspicion, Consumed, and Indian Summer. Be sure to check out the Lore website for more information.
Oh, heck.
That's his cadence, man. I know it's not perfect, but the dude sits each week. All right, here's what I'll give him. Dude's got a work ethic. Each week, He sits down. He writes 38 to 45 minutes worth of material. You always have to sit down to do stuff. You notice that? Sits down. He writes 38 to 45 minutes worth of material. Then he stands up. He goes sit and sits down in another spot. And he records himself reading it, which, as you and I know, to get 38 to 45 minutes worth of material, he probably records for hour and a half, 2 hours. And then somebody, I don't know if it's him, it may be him, somebody else, spends 6 to 8 hours producing it, putting the music in, putting the breaks in where they need to be, cutting out the ums and uhs and all that. And that is a lot of work, right?
That sounds very familiar.
But that's his only job. He makes a ton of money doing that. I think the thing that he does that we don't do is the sitting down part, because we don't sit down until the show starts. The sitting down and writing 38 to 45 minutes worth of material ahead of time. Maybe we'll do that next week. And he'll be like,
let's do that next week. I'll see how that works.
Got my paper here. I'll be like, welcome to the Don't Panic radio show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Oh, bullshit.
Nothing you're about to hear is true. I'll make a couple of masturbation jokes. I'll be like, so I was jacking off the other day, and while I was doing it, I forgot my own name. I forgot what planet I was on. It was so good. You ever have such a... Wait, sorry. I was getting too colloquial. Have you ever had such a good masturbation session that you forgot what planet you were on?
I forgot what room I was in once. I don't know about planet.
I mean, seriously, Paul, let's face it. Some masturbation sessions are better than other masturbation sessions. Sometimes you get off, but it's just a normal get off. And other times, it's really good. And you may forget that across two thin sheets of drywall, with maybe some 2x4s in between, some electrical wiring, maybe some plumbing, and you're moaning. Oh, yeah. Ooh. We'll do that next week. All right, but this week we have headlines. Some sad news. The headline is Butch Trucks, Allman Brothers Band drummer and co-founder, dead at 69.
Butch Trucks. That is the manliest name anyone can ever have.
If your last name is Trucks, do you really need a first name like Butch?
I would just call myself Truck. It's like Cher. I'm just Truck. But I wouldn't say Cher. Not when talking about the Allman Brothers, anyway.
Co-founder. How did that conversation go? So he's talking with... all right, this is the part where MP is going to attack the radio.
Greg and Dwayne.
This is the part where Greg and Dwayne Allman and Butch Trucks are sitting around going, hey, we should start a band. All right. Awesome. We're good. I'm a good drummer. You guys are good at what you do, singing, playing guitar. How about, Sycamore Street? Be a good band name. Street we all grew up on together. Yeah, that's not bad. How about, how about 491 Ambulance? No, that's too close to REO Speedwagon. Yeah, good point. How about Truckin'? Butch, we can't name the band Truckin' just because your last name is Trucks. Okay, well, no, I get that. Allman Brothers. How about Allman Brothers? Wait a minute. What do you mean? You can't name it Truckin'? We can name it Allman Brothers? Oh, come on. But there's two Allman Brothers. We're like brothers. It'll be like the Doobie Brothers. Joe and Phil Doobie. You know? I know, but yeah, I'm one of the founders. My last name is Trucks.
Because he has that. He has foresight.
It says co-founder in the headline. Right? He's one of the founders, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking, would he be aware of the fact he was a founder at that point in time?
They're starting like, to band.
Did the founding fathers go, all right, folks, we're the founding fathers of this shit. So let's get this right.
Well, so if you and I were to start a band, mm-hmm. right, we would know that we are the founders of this band.
Yeah, but would we call ourselves the founders?
Well, are you one of the founders of the Don't Panic radio show?
What would our band be called, though?
The Vincent Brothers.
Hey, wait a minute. But I'm a co-founder.
It'll be called Vincent and Superfan James Band.
But I'm one of the co-founders. That's all good. As long as it's in the contract that
my
I'm
point
the co-founder.
Is, three dudes get together to start a band. Mm. Two of them are brothers. And they decide to call it the Allman Brothers. I mean, how does that make Butch Trucks feel? Are the other, is Greg and what's his name? Are they still alive?
I'm pretty sure one of them's dead and one of them's alive.
Well, that means one of them preceded Butch in death. And so they were probably still touring because all these old bands still need money. That's so right. It's Butch and whichever one is still alive. Touring as the Allman Brothers. They're like, oh, that's so great that you two brothers are still... No, we're not brothers. Well, wait a minute. It's the Allman Brothers. Yeah, but my name is Butch Trucks. Oh, so did the original drummer die? No. I'm the original drummer. You don't get how humiliating that must have been for him? I will say this. At least now he's in a better place. At least now the pain of being the non-Allman in the Allman Brothers band, he's finally free of that pain. He'll be missed. All right, you know who else died?
Yeah. Hold on. You're like, he'll be missed. Nobody knew who the fuck he was.
MP did. And Pete wrote a whole long thing about it. He wrote this whole long thing, and I was like, who the fuck is Butch Trucks? I don't know. Is this one of his friends? I was like, oh, damn, one of MP's friends died. I was like, wait a minute. This isn't one of MP's friends. This is the drummer from a band that named themselves after people that weren't him. What a bummer that must have been. At least Mary Tyler Moore... had the Mary Tyler Moore show.
That's right.
I love that they used to just like call the show by the name of the actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be like if they called MASH the Alan Alda show. Like people go, fuck's Alan Alda? You go, oh, well, he's the actor that plays Hawkeye in MASH. You go, so how is it the Alan Alda show? Oh, well, it is, you know. So it must be that back in the day, in the 50s, like... Dick Van Dyke was more popular than the show. It was like, well, it'd be like if they called the Honeymooners the Jackie Gleason Show. It's the Jackie Gleason Show.
But that would have been confused with the Jackie Gleason Show.
Hmm. Be like, is this the Jackie Gleason Show or the Jackie Gleason Show? Well, so then you have the Dick Van Dyke Show with Mary Tyler Moore as mm-hmm. Rob Petrie's wife, Laura Petrie. With the fantastic legs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Mary Tyler Moore show where she was a reporter in, what, Minneapolis or St. Paul? Minnesota.
I couldn't
Minnesota's had a tough year, man. Prince. Mary Tyler Moore. Al Franken. Still alive. It's got to suck for them, man.
It's got to be rough.
Well, she was 80.
And our hearts go out to you, Minnesota.
The third Allman brother was 69, which is my mom's age, and Mary Tyler Moore was 80, which is just a little bit, like 6 months older than my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going, like my first reaction is, 80. She lived a good life. Good long life. Then I go, hold on. My dad's 79. I'm not ready for that shit. So now I want a full investigation. Like, how did she die? Right. She's way too young.
Mm-hmm. My parents are 80. I mean, well, my dad's 79 and my mom is 80. So yeah, that's not one of those. That's one of those moments where you're like, yeah, she was pretty. No, she wasn't old.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny though is like there was a lot of talk about her great legs, and everybody talked about Mary Tyler Moore's legs. All I can ever remember is she was that little boy's mom from, you know, Rob Petrie and Laura Petrie's son. Was it Richie?
Richie
or Robbie?
Yeah, no, it was Richie.
Richie? She was his mom. I always saw her as a mom. And I was like, moms don't have great legs.
No, I'm sorry. Mary Tyler Moore was like the original MILF, dude. What she did with those capris, oh my God.
Oh, Rob. Oh, man. That's probably enough of that nonsense. Hey, let's check in on our Facebook posting.
Okay.
See how we're doing. Remember, the question was, your earliest Hollywood crush. Go. And we have something in the neighborhood of 30 answers in 58 minutes. Tom Selleck? Or was it Sam Elliott?
Was that my sister?
Yes.
I just had a feeling.
She has a thing for the mustaches, I guess.
She likes the mustaches.
Might have to grow me a mustache.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. Don Wells. That was Ken.
I can see that.
Ken Collison. I'm all about Marianne. Marianne the Professor Ann. You're on Gilligan's Island. Scott Tolan says Alyssa Milano. Now, come on, Tolan.
No, I can't fault him for that.
No, I like Alyssa Milano. I said your earliest crush. I didn't say from the last 10 years.
He's significantly younger than we are.
What is he, 19?
Yeah, I think he's like 19, 20. He's got a baby face. He's like 20 years old.
Okay, but he's got an old man haircut is the thing. You know, that confuses me. It's like, if you're going to be young, have a young haircut. Okay, here's one. Elvis. That's good. Winnie from the Wonder Years for my brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
SFJ.
God bless you.
SFJ. God bless SFJ. John C. McGinley. Who's John C. McGinley? And why is that his first crush?
Google it.
Oh, it's the guy from Scrubs.
That makes total sense, dude. He fucking loves that show. It really is a good show. That's hysterical.
Oh, I love that show. I love that actor. I didn't know SFJ was gay. I didn't realize that. I mean, it's fine with me. I don't mind it. But and now that I know he is, I mean, that opens up a lot of possibilities for me. But Kelly LeBrock. And no, it's not Uncle Carl.
Oh, that would have been my first guess.
Buddy of mine from college, Eric Roth. Oh, God. This answer is predictable. From another guy I knew from college, Fred Spinner. Mm. Is it okay not to have one? Honestly, I really never did. Push my glasses up. If you're listening, Fred, we love you.
But I'm calling bullshit.
Yes. Michelle Best Stadler says Kirk Cameron. Dougie Livingston says Daisy Duke. Duh. Linda McCreary, Rob Lowe. Yeah, me too. Sally Johnson, Kirk Cameron. Donna Lacey, Grizzly Adams. Nice.
Dan Haggerty. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the beard.
Heather Bechtel, Kirk Cameron. Man, there's a lot of Kirk Camerons.
I wonder if they would love him now. I mean, if he talked Jesus to them, would that still turn them on?
Some people are into that.
Well, Mary Magdalene was into Jesus.
Woody Cornett III said Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I'm sure there's a decapitation joke in there somewhere.
Let's just cut it off right now.
Mrs. Graber, my youngest third grade teacher, says Bo and Luke Duke. Nicole Franco, my first and some might say favorite niece, although I don't have a favorite niece, but I'm hoping she listens. Mm-hmm. And she did say David Bowie. So. Mm. Tracy Hart, Will Wheaton.
Mm. I can see that. A lot of girls liked him. They're nerds.
Jennifer Claycomb says Luke Skywalker. Claudia Brahman says Tony Danza.
Oh, Angela.
All right. Kathy DeNoyer says Jacqueline Bisset and Susan Day. I didn't know she was gay. Well, I'm learning a lot.
See, this is the beauty of these kind of questions.
And then Spinner Lisa, Fred's wife, says Eric Estrada, LOL, also Bo and Luke. Oh, Chico, too. All right, so he didn't have any. She had like five.
Right? I'm not saying nothing. There's a correlation that can be drawn there, but I'm not saying nothing.
So that was pretty successful. So tune in to this show that we're recording now that will air next week to find out if we said your name just now. I don't think I have the concept correct, but all right. So I wanted to end the show just by, I mean, you know, we hope our show is a break for you guys from the political discussion of the day, because nobody's really saying anything or getting anywhere.
Right.
It's just a bunch of blah, 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 Trump, blah, this and blah, that. And
The name of the show is Don't Panic. So hopefully we provide some sort of relief from the panic.
It's like they said in that musical Into the Woods. If we're all doomed, well, there's really nothing we can do about it. So there's no need to worry. If we're not doomed, well, there's no need to worry. Bottom line, don't panic. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Nothing,
nothing,
nothing you just heard was true. We'll be right back.
shit.